Oh, we should talk about Max Payne. Have we talked about that yet? I don't think we have. Yeah. We should definitely talk about that because it's weird as shit.
Yeah, Max Payne looks like Big Bird now.
It's June 26th, 2009, and Fallout 3 bought Doom.
Wow!
Oh, and this is AutoThumbs 31.
And you're Chris Remo.
Yeah, I am.
What was that? Who are you?
Chris Remo.
Okay.
I'm Nick Brecken.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
And hello.
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 We're back for the first regular episode in like...
Two and a half weeks
or something.
Yeah.
And Nick's back from Morocco.
Yeah.
Hey.
And
a trip to, like, in the last couple days also, a trip to Blizzard.
Right. Yeah. From Morocco to Blizzard.
Yeah.
You're visiting the Blizzard Morocco studios.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little known. Very small.
Yeah.
Tech support for Moroccan WoW servers, basically.
They're still working away on Warcraft Adventures over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody told them.
They're like World War II weird stranded. Yep. Yeah. That's cool. So how was that? The actual regular Blizzard part?
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty much what you'd expect.
What is that?
Well, I saw StarCraft 2 and there was a bunch of shit I can't talk about until next
week. Yeah, of course.
But
I mean, you can talk about, you're telling me crazy stuff about the actual facility.
I was going to say, it's pretty much what you expect outside of all the crazy stuff, which was...
recovery.
Well, no. We had this like elaborate 40-minute tour, and pretty early on in the tour, we stopped by at the I think it was the World of Warcraft Global Operations Center was the official title for it, and it was this dark doorway, and you looked in, and it basically looked like NASA Mission Control.
What? And like the rows of like
there were like two rows of really long desks, a bunch of people sitting at behind monitors, and then on the wall there were like 40-inch monitors lined end to end in like three different rows, and they were watching like huge server graphs. But on top of that, they had like news channels on in case something like exploded near a server. Or just
what, like a bomb?
Yeah, like, well, she literally said, like, she's like, yeah, we, you know, they watch the news, they watch the weather, just, you know, just to monitor what's going on in the world in case something happens and we need to, you know, respond. It's like,
wow, Jesus,
okay.
they're apparently better prepared than fucking FEMA.
Yeah, yeah, it was insane. It's like, well, you know what, you like watch a show like The West Wing and they say the Situation Room isn't actually like that.
Yeah,
this is what it looks like. Like,
in, like,
on
the TV version, yeah,
but actually bigger, and it was just like blowing my mind. And then they had like all throughout the offices, they had like little digital picture frames, just all over the place, hanging up. And they were, it was the World of Warcraft server. It was a map of the world, and then sort of like an X-Men 2. As stupid as a comparison as that
like
is.
Where all the mutants are?
Yeah, but instead of mutants, it was players in World of Warcraft mapped on the globe, and every pinpoint was a player, and they had, you know, they had it shaded for time zones, and they had, you know, color coding, and it was...
Jesus.
Yeah.
Could you, like, zoom in to someone's, through someone's window and, like, check them out?
Yeah. No, it was pretty freaky. I didn't expect it to be like I imagined in my mind. And it was.
What did you imagine it to be? Oh, this
I just
is
imagined
it was
like a really bland office, but
I see.
They have like their own library there with like shelves and shelves of old PC games and
awesome.
Just random books about HTML and art history, and just it's insane. They have a lot of money.
That's true.
Yeah. So yeah, it was an interesting visit. And I'll talk about StarCraft next week, but it was a good time.
You'll talk about it now. Oh, I guess you won't.
Nope. Bound by
was
the,
it awesome?
Bound by the Bargo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Raise that Bargo.
Actually, in the library, they had sort of like a featured section. And
of Idle Thumbs podcast.
Idle Thumbs literature. Sort of publications.
Yeah, they have the Journal of Games in there on the racks.
Yeah. Yeah, just hanging up there next to Life. No, they just had a simple little desk with a, you know, sitting below a bunch of artwork and one of the there were two books that were featured, and one of them was some history of ancient battles, which was obvious, and the next one was Raising the Bar. So that was cool.
The Half-Life book?
Yeah. Like they're huge fans of Valve, you can tell, because they decorate all of their office space like
with valves.
Well, no, the one section I'll post it on the Idle forums or something, but
you'll forget too.
No, I probably will forget.
We've made this claim so many times.
Yeah, I know. But somebody three guys had redecorated their office space to look like Left 4 Dead. There were like all these sheets with like bloody handprints and stuff. And like, every Weird. Office was like this. It was just
Bloody handprints. That's gross.
Yeah.
You'll never believe when the Horde showed up.
Yeah. Anyway.
Blizzard Morocco.
Grabbing pills.
Really elaborate.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you played StarCraft 2, and it was...
Bargo.
It was Bargo. That doesn't make any sense.
That's slang for fucking rad.
Oh, man.
It was so Bargo.
Well, I played it before.
Fuck off.
It was nothing new.
Nothing special, really.
StarCraft 2.
Yeah. Old news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been sending out all the like press beta invites, but it's not actually active yet. Mm. So.
Yeah. I can't say anything about it.
All right. Fine.
Yeah. But yeah, if you were to describe StarCraft 2,
it's fucking.
Oh man, we just got you to break
embargo.
I know.
Embargo broken.
Yeah, jeez.
That's all I really want to do. I just want to get you in trouble. I don't care about what the game is like.
Yeah.
Cool. So that happened. Also, it got bought this week. Weird. Yeah, how crazy was that though? I honestly
like. Good morning, everyone. It like
yeah right.
Bethesda's parent company has.
Well, that was literally the first thing I saw on my computer today. Seriously, yeah. Before I went into work. Actually, I was like an hour late for work because I got up
because id Software was bought.
Yeah, well, it's true. I got up and looked at my some press PR people have my personal email address, and I don't get my work email at home. Mm-hmm. And so I got up and it is one of the ones that is on my private email for whatever reason, and. I had this press release in there, and literally the first email I read today was ZeniMax Media acquires id Software, and I was just like, what the fuck? It was very weird.
Yeah.
And then, like, minutes later, it was announced that BioWare was merging with Mythic.
Right, back-to-back.
Yeah.
Did you see the Mark Jacobs stuff?
Yeah, Mark Jacobs, he was Mythic. And now he's not.
Well, there was a source, somebody on Massively, they had a source that was talking about, you know, that just sort of came out of left field and how, they were saying that, you know, Jacobs was so diehard, you know,
right,
that he would never leave willingly. So
really? Oh, wow.
Well, that was what, you know, they were saying. Who knows what the case is, but.
Some sort of ousting situation ouster.
I don't know.
I just wanted to say that word.
Ousted. But a lot of people, I think there's a misconception now that the companies have merged or that they're some kind of entity. It's just
team up coming soon.
Yeah, it's just like a reorganization thing. I mean, it's just
Ray is running them, and Gray Zestchuk is the creative designer for the whole thing, so, or the creative director for the whole operation. So I mean, it is sort of to some extent like.
It's less of a merger and more of a BioWare takeover.
I mean, it's got to be. I mean, honestly, for Mythic, it's got to be at this point a little disheartening. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're picked up by Electronic Arts. You're like the big MMO hope of Electronic Arts.
Mm-hmm.
They were pushing that game hard. That was definitely, you know, because that was prior to the BioWare thing, and that
was
definitely
which game was were they
Warhammer.
Oh yeah,
and then it came out.
Republic.
It's like it got some people, but then they get BioWare, and it's like the biggest MMO we expect ever, and it's like well, and the thing is, even if BioWare doesn't deliver on that, they still have a bunch of absolutely guaranteed successes in all the other shit they put out. I mean, Mass Effect 2 is going to be I don't know about Dragon Age, but Mass Effect 2 is probably going to be big. I mean, I don't know. I feel like...
And Dragon Age.
Yeah. Well. I don't know what to think
That game will probably sell.
It'll probably sell, but I mean, I don't know. Have we talked much about that game since we actually saw it, like, in any amount of depth?
I think we did last time, actually.
Like, post-E3?
We talked about it on the post-E3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, what a weird game. I don't know. I really don't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. Anyway, the sense, obviously, I think is definitely that BioWare is the company that has more clout between the two, and it's got to be a little unfortunate for Mythic from that perspective, just because they're probably working on other stuff, but it's probably ages away at this point. I mean, more so than the Old Republic is. So yeah, I don't know. Weird. But why are we talking about the id thing?
That was right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's just motor past that and talk about reorganization.
So we've got bots today. Anyway, man, did you guys see the MMO stuff? Anyway. Fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. Nick, you and I were kind of talking about this a little before, and it's, you know, I think probably id wasn't in any kind of dire situation where they were running out of money or anything, but I suspect they also probably, Nick, you were speculating, looking a few years down the line.
I think this puts them, they can be comfortable now for a long longer. Without, I mean,
Rage was theoretically not the success they needed it to be or wanted it to be, you know, who knows? I mean, they probably still would have been okay in terms of overall capital, but they probably don't need to be thinking about that so much now.
Yeah. It's a smart move. Yeah. It is weird though. Just, I mean, the characterization of id has always been like fiercely independent studio that will never go, you know, just like the last of the hardcore studios, you know, except it's not. And, you know, there are plenty that aren't, you know, that are still independent, but,
Yeah. What's the world coming to? 3D Realms out of business, id Software.
Well, it's funny to compare the situation to 3D Realms, you know, where it's like 3D Realms probably could have seen the writing on the wall a couple of years ago. And, like, I mean, it seems
5 years ago.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, you'd think they could have had some kind of opportunity to do something about it like this. I mean, it seemed like, you know, the Take-Two stuff seems like a huge clusterfuck, but it seemed like there was some level of interest in Take-Two becoming more of a direct financier or patron or investor or something. But I guess 3D Realms just wasn't into it. But it seems, I don't know, a little. I think they probably know Bethesda is. Honestly, if anyone is going to buy id, it's really difficult for me to think of anyone who would be a better owner for id.
I mean, I don't know. Fallout 3 buys Doom.
Right. Yeah, that was Romero's amazing Twitter comment on Wednesday.
Incisive.
Yeah. Which he apparently
took back.
Yeah. What happened with that?
He said sorry, basically. He was like, no, I'm actually positive on the deal.
Yeah, after being, this is disgusting.
Yeah, disgusting. And then, kidding.
Actually,
just
kidding. What I meant was, JK. It sounds really cool.
Yeah.
I like disgusting things.
Right.
Added Romero, this is a great partnership that's good for both companies. I'm excited. What was that last part?
Yeah. It was funny that
Carmack quote.
The quote of the end.
It
may sound right.
It's weird because
like three
pictured
sentences.
I have to assume that, like, I don't know, the way I picture it is that he wrote something and then, or the PR people wrote that line and then he looked at it and went,
he tacked that in.
We're gonna say that's trite.
Oh, yeah, because I know both Chris and I were talking about, or via Twitter when we were reading this quote. Yeah, where it was Carmack saying like, this is a great partnership that everyone is really happy about. I think Carmack didn't write this, and then at the end it's like, it might sound trite, but I'm actually pretty happy about this. Like, there he is. There's Carmack. there's your /dot comment.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was like, it may sound trite for me to say so. I mean, it's you can really imagine him, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That was hysterical.
A plan file has appeared.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, what a crazy thing. Really amazing to me how rapidly Bethesda has just it's been,
I mean,
crazy.
I was talking to Pete Hines,
like a big fat guy eating Yoshi's Island.
What? Oh god, you're afraid of that commercial. God, that was gross.
Oh, thank
that
you.
That was one of the, have we talked about this since we found it?
No,
we haven't.
Commercial
I know
that Nick was talking
the long
about
lost treasure. Thank you to that person.
It was the commercial. Yeah, Nick was talking about he was attributing it to the Nintendo Play It Loud campaign. It was I think it either pre or post dated that.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
It's a commercial for Yoshi's Island that's like one of those extreme 90s commercials about how games are fucking hardcore. Yeah. It was for Yoshi's Island. Like,
but in that weird grungy way.
Yeah,
right.
It was a gross
gross.
Fat guy eating food in a restaurant until he explodes. Yeah. And the analogy like the, was Yoshi's Island's packed full of content. Like, what?
It's like a TV commercial equivalent of like a scratch and sniff or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I just associate
it was a,
all
the
that.
TV, but I mean, it was a commercial equivalent of like a guy barfing on your shoe.
Yeah. it was on your fucking face. It was revolting.
Yeah, there's actually a shot of the guy's stomach ripping open and like food and bile splattering the camera.
It was
on Nickelodeon. It was a commercial.
It was awesome.
Like, for Nick Jr. or something.
It was really disturbing.
Thank
you, Idle Forums.
If you look at the Idle Thumbs like episode 30 thread on the Idle Thumbs forums at idlethumbs.net, someone has embedded that trailer. So you too can barf at that video. You can watch it and go, and it's for Yoshi's Island.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
That's wholesome.
It's like,
right.
Like,
it's about a,
like charcoal and crayon drawn thing about Yoshi must take baby Mario back to his parents.
This game's going to vomit on your fucking face.
Yeah, anyway. Id Software was bought.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of like that. Yeah, Bethesda, it's really crazy. I mean, they, you know.
Oh, that's right. Bethesda exploded like that fat guy.
From Morrowind to Oblivion, they became a sort of sales success to an extent that they never quite had been before.
And then Fallout became a cultural phenomenon amongst
well, then they bought Fallout before the game even came out. I mean, they bought the entire franchise before then. That was already
In the interplay, everything must go.
And that was a crazy thing. And then Fallout 3 was just a huge thing. And then they've been getting higher profile deals with bigger developers to publish their games. And the Splash Damage connection is actually an interesting one because Bethesda's publishing Splash Damage's next game. And so now both id and Bethesda, those are the two companies that basically gave Splash Damage their first big break and then their second big break.
Right.
Mm.
Do you think Splash Damage was one of the companies that who was it that was referring to having like sort of issues or difficulties working with sort of satellite third-party developers? Wasn't that cited as one of the reasons why
Holland said implied something about
subtle dig at Activision
and the quality.
I mean, it's
drops.
Basically just
I sort of
Raven
assumed
and
he was,
Splash Damage, isn't it? Aren't those the two companies
yeah,
it is?
I sort of
regularly?
Assumed he was referring more to Raven than Splash Damage because Enemy Territory, Wolfenstein was huge. I mean, that game was really
true.
Big.
And Quake 4, not so much.
Quake 4, not so much. Quake Wars, I guess, I don't know. I feel like that game, I don't know. I don't know how that game did exactly, but yeah, it's funny because Splash Damage is now, I mean, their next game is still based on id technology.
Right.
I mean, it's like they're still using
id
Tech 4. I know what you're saying.
I mean,
it could be.
Splash Damage is a bunch of really cool guys, but it would be funny if they had some issue with id and then it's like, we're getting that. You what? You're publishing what? But hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah,
and now it's just actually super awesome that all those guys are working together.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
by together, I mean,
together,
is, I mean our
own
vibe.
Yeah.
Zenicorp or whatever it is.
Zenicorp conglomerate. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
No, it's funny though that, I mean, id and Bethesda are both companies that whose big influence, I mean, they both were sort of the initial seeds of those companies was each planted in the late 80s. And then they both really established themselves in the early 90s in kind of the hardcore PC space. Well, and then I guess even Splash Damage comes from that same kind of tradition just 10 years later, basically. I don't know. It's an interesting set of convergence there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What a crazy thing. I just can't believe the sort of empire Bethesda is setting up.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
At least it's an empire of cool stuff.
I know. Exactly. What a cool company. They're kind of like Valve in that respect, where it's like this company that has basically one big franchise that they're known for and that sells really well, but then they keep just steadily...
Yeah, but they're doing it by acquiring other companies versus
this is the
Valve.
First company they've...
I guess they didn't acquire Splash Damage. They're just publishing their stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just
Fine.
Mean, it's, I equate their publishing stuff with like Valve Steam or something where they're distributing stuff from other companies, but they're still sort of seen more as a developer than a publisher.
It's all sort of fueled by the scary money fountain that came from their main franchise.
Yeah.
Using that to do interesting things instead of... To cancel all of those things,
right?
Which is the alternate model.
Right.
We've got all this money, so we're going to do nothing. We got a skateboard controller.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that skateboard controller, though.
God.
It's not a controller, it's a platform.
I can't wait to try and play Guitar Hero.
Literally, it's a platform.
Yes.
I wonder if you can play Guitar Hero with that.
That's what I just said.
I said I can't wait to play Guitar Hero with that. I wonder if you can play Guitar Hero with that. Anyone?
If yeah, someone
of that
playing
before?
Guitar Hero on the skateboard while playing Tony Hawk with the guitar plugged into a different machine. I don't know what I'm doing. Also, vitality sensor on the
yeah, on and Natal is picking all of that up at the same time.
Vitality sensors. Oh, video games. Yeah, that's like the new extreme blockbuster.
Wait, Nick, did you just mention Natal? Natal's
Natal's picking all of that up at the same time.
That would be an amazing, like, extreme and perspective picture. Like,
Milo's like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah,
like, here's mid-90s advertising return. Right.
Yeah. With like guitar and another guitar and like portable drum kit strapped to your back with 10 vitality sensors.
The Novant Falcon is kind of off the side. Not
a skateboard on each foot.
Right. Like snowshoes, you're tramping
around.
Yeah,
well, you got the skateboard strapped on one and your other one is on the balance board. You're kicking the skateboard up into the camera.
Right. Yeah.
And then balancing on the balance board with the other foot.
This is amazing.
And Milo's like, do you want to do homework?
What are you doing? What are you doing? The difference is, unlike the 90s, now you've got the whole family on the couch in the background.
Yeah, yeah, they're all pointing and smiling.
Right,
yeah.
But they also have like 10 vitality sensors on. This is our horrible cyborg future. Like, is this what you want for your children?
Just, I don't know.
How do I play a game?
I just want to go outside.
Your kids just want to go outside. But with the video games in control.
Yeah. Milo, play with me.
Oh, shit.
Year of the PS3.
It's 2015. This is what your gaming future looks like.
It probably is.
Steven Spielberg's in the background cackling. Yeah. Like,
oh, I thought
you said, no, you're crying because you're
right. he's making you cry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's after they introduced the Clockwork Orange eye peripheral.
Clockwork Orange eye peripheral.
Yeah.
I hope it's
PlayStation
Eye
2.
They just hold their eye open. Yeah, it's just the PlayStation Eye is like 3.
Yeah.
Gross. Anyway. Woo! So that's going to happen. We're all amused by that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in conclusion, id Software, now bought by Bethesda.
Yeah. Good.
Maybe we should take a break now. I think we're done.
I think we are.
Video game.
Oh man, I've never sold a review copy that I received, but I went into GameStop and I needed one of their stupid cards and
you sold puffins.
I sold puffins. I did for $9.
Oh, wait,
for $9.
You had a copy of puffins?
Yeah, I did.
We're gonna give it away that shit.
I thought Remo had one.
No.
No? I saw one. Did you have
Disney, like...
I saw a puffin on his desk.
I didn't have the fucking puffins. I had the penguin game. That's what I had.
Oh, the penguin game. Yeah, I sold the puffins.
You sold puffins! God, that would have been a gold prize. You could have given it away in the Gamer Grub bag.
I have a lot of other good games like
with
that.
With a free wizard.
I got Lumberjack or Lumberjacks or Go or whatever the fuck, like...
Oh, yeah, the Lumberjack, Majesco. The Wii Lumberjack game.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so you must get all the Majesco stuff.
I get all the terrible stuff. It's just...
In my old apartment in Berkeley, I think a bunch of publishers still have that address and still send games to it. And I just got a call from a mom yesterday whose son, I guess, lived in my old apartment. And she's like, you've got all these video games. Should we mail these to you or something?
Did you tell her she could keep them?
Yeah. I'm like, well, I don't know. I mean, sure. I don't need them at this point. So, I mean...
Your son is welcome to my free games.
Yeah.
StarCraft 2 review copy. Sweet. This game is awesome. Here, play it. Upload torrent.
No.
Yeah, just log in as C. Ramo.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Video game. So I guess we're back.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, I heard that video games were played by you or want to be talked about by you.
Yeah.
How was that lead in?
It was pretty good, pretty smooth, pretty good seg. Oh, man, you look dismayed. Sorry.
It was a pretty good seg.
Yeah.
Sorry, actually, I was confused for a second and then thought that maybe that was the name of a song we could write.
Oh, no,
not for the podcast, but for a non-existent band. Pretty good seg could be like a ska band, probably.
Yeah, I can see that. Oh, and real quick, I want to mention Xenoclash, which we talked about on this podcast before, is... It's on sale again this weekend for only $10. That was the pre-release price. So it's
back.
It's back for 2 days or 3 days or however long that lasts.
I should buy it.
Yeah, and it, I think there's DLC, new content for it now. Yeah,
some challenge room stuff.
Is that stuff free for everyone? Or
it's free for everyone.
That's cool. It's good for those guys.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Games.
Oh man! And then on speaking of free updates, Dawn of War 2 seems to have a huge freaking update coming.
Yes. Yeah.
What all is in that
things.
Stuff? Yeah.
It's a couple maps, and then
huge update. A couple maps.
it seemed like
the
changing,
actual like
they're
pacing
changing,
of the game
yeah,
seems to be changing.
They're changing the pacing of the game dramatically. They're changing Tier 1 to be
longer.
I think. I don't know.
That's what the sense I got was that it seems like you'll be.
I don't want to say
it'd like
be wrong because I can't quite remember, but they are changing
off
it radically.
The top of my head,
they're changing unit. I think
there's a higher unit cap now, right? Or like
I think so. They got rid of a unit almost altogether. Yeah.
They got rid of rippers on the Tyranid side.
Right. Well, no, there are still rippers, but they can only be spawned by a thing. I don't know.
Something's happening.
I saw a comment somewhere, and I remember half of it.
Well, anyway, the thing that's really exciting, mainly honestly to me, is that they've teased that they might be releasing the map editor,
yeah,
which would be awesome.
Oh, that would be cool
because people make crazy shit with real time strategy map editors.
Yeah.
We might have to have an Idle Thumbs event. In the tradition of the Little Big Planet.
Yeah, that was actually cool.
Yeah.
That'd be
fun. Unlike what this contest will be.
What?
Oh. That was actually cool.
This one's going to be fucking lame. You should participate.
People are just
going
to draw Idle Thumbs in using like the mountain.
Well, that shit's really easy in a real-time strategy.
Yeah, that's
enough. That's what everyone does
actually,
the first time they load
been,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
ages since we plugged the Little Big Planet level. We probably should actually mention that again, except that I forget how to find it now.
Yeah,
and it's probably
you mean the one
deleted.
Made by the Kaboom Z guy.
Yeah, it was Kaboom ZZZ was a guy. We haven't talked about that in months, but it's been ages.
Yeah.
Probably people who don't know about it. There's a sweet Idle Thumbs Little Big Planet level.
Yeah.
That you should play.
It's really cool. It's pretty hilarious, especially for people who listen to like
if you look at the first like 15,
first like dozen episodes of Idle Thumbs. This level is packed with ridiculous in jokes from those early episodes.
Yeah, it's good.
So
anyway,
that's cool.
Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, they it seems like they're probably going to be releasing a map editor, which is pretty awesome. So anyway, those are our two little, I don't know, useful things.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of things I saw on Track News today, what the fuck is going on with Max Payne?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. I know people have talked about this before, but like it just keeps getting more ridiculous.
Yeah.
What's the
I don't
new
know
news
what...
besides the fact that he is like a bald Amish guy?
That's mainly it. I don't know. Yeah. I look at this game and I'm like, this is like grubby Uncharted. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It seriously looks closer.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah. It looks more like Uncharted 2 than anything Max
so
Payne.
So is Max Payne actually like digging through garbage cans and stuff?
I wouldn't be surprised at all. Like, based on what this guy
three.
Looks like, he
Max
looks like a
Max digs
fucking...
through a garbage can, and then there's like a monologue of him, like, some good rappers here. I'm like, what? The rappers glisten in the moonlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Use needles. Sparkle. They called me.
Yeah.
Fallen angels.
Yeah. It's fucking weird. I don't understand. I think it'd kind of be one thing if. I think you could go to, you know, theoretically, like, in kind of the Splinter Cell conviction route, you could have Max Payne be old, crazy, washed-up hobo in New York, you know, or you could kind of have Max Payne in Brazil.
Right, but
you know
have
I mean?
Both.
Like, but, like, both, right. It's just like, why even bother? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just call it something else. Call it fucking Bob Jones.
Yeah.
Three. I don't know. It's weird. Or Cletus McGee. I don't know. Like, what? It's fucking weird. It's like, maybe it'll be a good game. I really wonder why Rockstar would pay all this money. And as far as I know, it was a decent chunk of money because that's one of the things that kept 3D Realms going as long as they did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not showing you the part where it makes sense.
Yeah, well,
well, there is
Jake just had a dubious look on his face.
That part's probably in the game.
That I mean, like, to be honest, I had a really bad initial reaction, and I thought, well, it could be that these first shots, and this is stupid, but...
They want you to think that it's horrible and really confusing.
Well, they may not have
so
considered that.
So you
write
off the game.
Well, I think part of it was that they wanted to show off the fact that they went to Brazil and, like modeled the city, and like, hey, look, we made a Brazilian city, because that's always the thing, right?
Do you think was just a, look how bold we're going with Max Payne, and then it was like, too bold!
Yeah.
Well, please show me something that shows that this is a Max Payne game. They overshot a little bit in that? Well, I just hiled accidentally when doing an overshot.
Oh man, being a little.
No, you. We're cutting that now. Done. Out. Oh, that's got to be cut.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't.
Other stuff. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Anyway.
Max Payne.
Max Payne.
I just broke the StarCraft embargo, so we're moving on now.
So that's what you think about StarCraft 2. Yeah. Anyway, back to Max Payne.
Yeah, I don't understand what exactly their goal is. Obviously, I mean, that's stupid to say. Of course, I don't
fucking
know.
Well, it's just a lot of the details
like, that sounds
are also
idiotic to even say, but I...
Yeah.
But
even
I mean,
the fact that it has
I will point out, though, that when you release assets to the gaming public, you should be trying to convey something, right? I mean, you're not...
It should be fairly representative. I mean, especially the first screenshot should be more or less representative of you know, the...
As a developer, you know that people aren't going to have any context. Like, I obviously don't know what comes in level 17. Like, it's, you know, I...
Tears!
Yeah, you know. and so, you know, you should put stuff out that is what you want to be representative. And it's one thing to put something out that's just really... interesting and like in sort of, you know, if you put it out and it's like, wow, this isn't Max Payne, but it's also crazy. Whereas this is just like, oh, it's fucking third person slob shooter. Like it just looks like a lot of other games to me. You know what I mean? I look at this and if it didn't say Max Payne on it, I'd be like, oh, okay. You know, I wouldn't pay any attention to it. I mean, one of the things that makes Max Payne so interesting is that it is a relatively unusual character and a relatively unusual setting.
And somebody mentioned to me that I don't know. I was writing a story about it, and then I thought about it. And I don't think that any of Max Payne or Max Payne 2 was set in the daylight at all. Is that true? I think it's true.
Yeah.
And then the first Max Payne 3 screenshots are, you know, bright sunlight in the middle of Brazil, and yeah, it's just like completely different.
You can compare that to Left 4 Dead 2, for example. But
yes,
I think that was a mistake. No, but see, I really like what they're doing with Left 4 Dead 2 because I feel like that they're kind of doing the thing where I'm saying, oh, I see it. This is very recognizably Left 4 Dead for me, but it's in a totally different setting with a different tone and so forth. But the core of what Left 4 Dead 2,
is
cooperative zombie shooting, fucking crazy shit. Like you can change a lot of things. You have a lot of leeway in terms of what you keep the same and what you change. But when you literally, like, it's just like, well, Max Payne was sort of hard-bitten noir in a dark city. This is guy, big fat slob, shoots people in South America. Like,
Does it have bullet time? Because I would love if they just took that out as well.
Apparently it's more
actually
extreme.
A first-person brawler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. I'm being horrible internet man by just dumping on a game.
Well, I know. I feel bad for
even
judging it at all.
It's like, I don't know what else to say. It's like they put this stuff out. That's all I have to go on.
I'm maybe being stupid, but I'm actually really hoping that whoever's behind the wheel of Max Payne 3 knows what they're doing.
It's an amazing genius.
Right, and just like, you get it.
I'll take that.
Oh, shit. Like, I would be so pleased if Max Payne 3 just like throws my computer out the window while I'm playing it. Like, my excitement is channeled through the game. And
metaphorically?
Causes,
yeah.
I'm just, oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you for
doing that. No, I mean, I'll take that. Like, whatever. I mean,
or if he gets back from Brazil and is like, duh, that was the last of my money. And then he's just, and then he's just living in a dumpster.
Level 2, you're back to being, well, that sucked.
Right. I don't know why.
What the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah.
That would be the most amazing fake out in the history.
Yeah,
we flew to Brazil for this incredible, like,
right, and then
6-month expedition to render every corner of the country. Level 2
tutorial.
Yeah.
Anyway, then we spent a couple days in New York and we looked at some Max Payne 2
concept. We lived there,
art.
So we figured we're pretty much covered. Well, the Housers, anyway. I don't really know what the structure of this actually is because Rockstar Vancouver is the studio making it.
Yeah,
but presumably the Housers have whatever degree of final say over Max Payne, who the fuck knows. I actually played some video games too. I've been playing a lot of video games recently, actually.
Way to go.
Yeah
Just, you're making up for us, I guess.
Yeah And me in the like month before that. I was playing, I still unfortunately haven't played many of them for that long each because I have been playing a bunch, so I've only played each of them for a couple hours.
But some more bites.
Yeah, some more bites, some gamer bites. Wait, that's a site that my company owns.
Oh, sorry.
That sounded like a plug.
Sorry, what we meant was it's like some gamer grub. Like it's some tidbits
some
on
grub,
the go.
Like little bits, yeah.
In a bag.
Yeah. You got a pouch.
Yeah, you don't need your...
God, I still remember when, Jake, you characterized it as a power chug or something. That was a horrible image to me.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway.
It's like what you're attached to a horse's face.
Yeah, I what? Oh yeah, the
Game of Grub feed bag. Feed pouch.
I played two games this week that both reminded me of games I used to play a lot.
Say both reminded me of Game of Grub.
Both of them. Kind of a little bit of strategy chocolate.
Yeah, game health, but
yeah. Man.
Bringing
out the old material.
I know, Jesus.
Sorry.
Vintage Idle Thumb going
Far Cry 2.
Someone requested we talk about Far Cry 2 more.
We just did. All right, done. Yeah, all right, anyway, good these job. Games reminded you of your childhood?
No. Well, one of them reminds me of like 10 years ago, I guess. But I played Overlord 2 and King's Bounty. And Overlord came out today, or yesterday, I guess.
But Overlord 2, you played a couple days ago.
Oh, no. Overlord 2 came out like 2 days ago, and I'd never played the first one. And then King's Bounty actually came out like last year, and I've owned it. I've actually owned like 3 copies of that game since it was released, and I just never actually bothered installing it for some reason. Mm. I don't really know why. And so I finally did, and it's pretty awesome. They both are on, like, they're both cool in a way that they both remind me of games I really like. So King's Bounty reminds me a lot of Heroes of Might and Magic 2, which I played a fucking lot back in like 1996 or whenever that game was out. That was a great game. I mean, an amazing game. I don't know if you guys ever played that series.
Not really.
That was the only game in the series I played, but I played a lot of it. And then Overlord 2 reminds me of Pikmin. They're both like less involved versions of those games, though.
So they're like dumbed down.
Well, they're just
pouncing on that one. Apparently.
I mean, like Overlord 2, for example, I really like it. I played the demo. There's a demo on Steam that I grabbed last week, and I had never played the first game, and so I didn't have any preconceptions about it. But it was surprisingly awesome, and I heard from people who did play the first game that the demo for the second was already more interesting than the first game was.
Hmm.
So, I mean, that kind of encouraged me to get the full version, which I did. And it's really fun. It's kind of like Pikmin, but it's a little more action-oriented, so you actually very rarely... I shouldn't say this, but, you know, like a couple hours in, I'm not very far yet, it seems like there isn't a lot to figure out, per se. You're pretty much accomplishing goals that the game sets out for you, whereas in Pikmin, they have a similar style of mechanic in that you're a directly controlled avatar in the world with indirect control over a bunch of minions. But in Pikmin, there's a lot of really complex interaction in terms of splitting up your guys into groups, traversing a whole map, figuring out where and when you're sending your guys here and there and managing things independently, and it's fairly complicated.
Oh, Pikmin.
I know, it's so good. Overlord 2 doesn't quite have that yet, but I'm hoping it gets more into that as the game progresses. It seems like there actually are different types of minions and stuff, so it seems like the groundwork is being laid there.
Hopefully you can pick up some giant tins of Carmex and Duracell batteries.
Yeah, I love that about Pikmin.
The product placement?
Yeah,
awesome.
I really did. It was one of the most unusual, weird product placement campaigns I've ever seen in my life. It was just these very mundane products.
Right, just a Duracell battery.
Really...
yeah, someone dropped it in the garden and the Pikmin are taking it back to their spaceship to turn it into energy.
But you're
energy.
On another planet. It's this, it's actually one of those weird bits of sort of strange ambiguity where it's like, is this Earth or not? It's not. I mean, the game doesn't call it Earth and it doesn't seem to be Earth, but also it's got Duracell batteries.
I always sort of assumed it was Earth.
It's post-apocalyptic
Earth. And so the guys are aliens landing on Earth?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was never how
that
I
was always my
it,
read,
always,
but it's probably because I think my read was only because I was like, oh, a Duracell battery.
Right.
I'm in some guy's yard.
Right. Yeah, see, I guess I just had a different interpretation purely because I think by the time I noticed the Duracell battery, I already assumed it was another planet.
Well, I mean, so I guess it also just, does. I guess all the bugs are also aliens then if it's Earth.
That's the that's the other reason is that none of those things are real animals.
But I mean, the product placement. Why are we talking about this now? Sorry, but the product placement of Pikmin actually helped make the world feel more real to me.
I agree. I really liked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it had been like, you know, Zappo battery or whatever, it was like, oh, well, that's stupid. But,
well, I don't know if I would have thought it was stupid, but I would have thought about it.
Well, but I mean,
it's
not stupid,
it,
but really, just, the fact that you see the actual like black and copper
thing,
it's like, oh, it's a real bat. Wait a minute. It says Duracell on it.
And the other thing I find so interesting about it is that Nintendo is the last company that would ever put, and they certainly don't need to do it for financial reasons.
What the deal behind that was.
I asked their marketing director actually years ago.
Was it pure product placement? I mean, was it like Duracell paid us money to put the battery in, or was
she didn't really have a good answer. I think it was something that was already done in the Japanese version of the game. And so it was just for Nintendo of America, it was basically do this again with brands that people here would know. But I, and her answer was basically, yeah, we thought it was kind of a crazy thing to do. And it was sort of like, we could have a wacky product placement. We don't usually do that kind of thing. And it would kind of work. I mean, it was a very general answer, but I thought it was fascinating because, you know, Nintendo, they would never do that as a company. They're so, I guess they occasionally cross over with Sega, I guess, but like they're so insular to the video game realm in terms of their fiction.
Yeah, that's why it was weird to be playing a, like Miyamoto's new game with Olimar and Louis or whatever. There's a Duracell battery. There's a Carmex case or whatever.
Like, yeah, it was really great.
Lip balm, apparently.
And then there were some brands that I guess they didn't get North American sponsors for because there were some brands I think that were still Japanese.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which was really interesting too.
But people are going to be all the fuck over that on Wii Pikmin if that is ever out. Jesus Christ.
I know. Mm. Yeah, I wonder if that stuff is still in the new Play Control stuff. Yeah. I didn't bother buying
it. If there's a third Pikmin and it's like Miyamoto's new game for the Wii. Ba-doop! Like everyone in the entire
I see what you're saying. Every like company that
The now that Nintendo's like, the Nintendo biggest success like, ever, we can fucking rake it in now. Like
exactly, Pepsi.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Redeem Pepsi points by digging them out of the dirt.
Oh, the saddest day in the world
both
of
Duracell
of
and Energizer have agreed to co-sponsor this game just so they can both get their fucking names.
Yeah, there's
in
multiple
there.
Endings depending on which battery you collect more of.
Jesus.
Each ending is sponsored by the respective companies. That's what I think about Overlord too. It seems fun so far. I like it. It's just, it does seem more kind of direct action, like bullet point task oriented than Pikmin is, which is fine. But I'm hoping it gets a little more complex. I'm not putting a final verdict on this yet or anything. And then King's Bounty also. I want to recommend King's Bounty to people. It's similarly more basic than Heroes of Might and Magic 2, in that Heroes of Might and Magic 2 was fully turn-based and had a lot of sort of strategic choices you could set up in terms of fortifying places with troops and kind of managing the map more. Like it's a turn-based game where you explore a fantasy map and then you go into
a fantasy realm.
Then you run into enemies and go into battles with them.
Yeah.
It's less linear sort of than a Japanese RPG. And
is it like Ogre Battle at all, or
I never really played Ogre Battle.
Okay, is it a real time thing where guys?
Well, they're
around?
Different. So Heroes of Might and Magic, as I recall, was entirely turn based, or at least the two I think was, and then
two.
King's Bounty, the overworld stuff is real time. You're just running around with a like sort of Diablo style, clicking and dragging with the mouse. And then when you go into a battle, it's all turn based, like a Japanese RPG style thing.
Yeah.
Except it's on a hex grid, so it's not like your two guys are just at the end of the battlefield and they can always reach each other. You've got to actually spend movement points to get your guys to walk around. So,
cool.
Yeah. Anyway, it's really fun. What I want to say is basically it's just an incredibly polished game. It's one of those games that is sort of doomed to not get a certain level of attention.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's partly because it's called King's Bounty.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. It's also by a Russian developer, but it doesn't have a lot of the...
Should have been like Martians versus Kings or Stalin versus...
Well, that game, as far as I can tell, completely flopped.
I'm sure it did, but...
And it got
least...
terrible reviews. I mean, King's Bounty is pretty well received.
Yeah. But if it had that little oomph.
Right. But I mean, this game succeeds in ways that some Russian games don't. Like, I like a lot of the Eastern European design ethic. Like, I think a lot of that stuff is really cool, but a lot of those games often end up not very well optimized or kind of buggy sometimes because a lot of times they're lower budget. But King's Bounty is incredibly polished. It's a really nice looking game. It's very clean. It runs well. It's very straightforward. I mean, it's just a really well-made, solid, fun game. It's not the deepest thing. I'd like to see these guys take the... There's an expansion coming out. I don't know exactly what's in it, but I'd like to see these guys go a little more towards the Heroes of Might and Magic thing where they start putting in more kind of broader strategic depth instead of just your little guy and his little battles. But they've got a really great foundation and it's really fun. And I think people who like that kind of action RPG, strategy RPG kind of stuff should check it out because I feel like this game should be better, I don't know, known. It's really fun.
Cool.
Cool.
So that's what I played this week.
Awesome.
Yep.
You played Morocco. And I think I played making a video game all day.
Did we want to talk about Blueberry Garden at all? We forgot to.
Oh. God, there's a game that isn't optimized at all.
I know. How weird is that?
It requires like a
I think it's because it was programmed in XNA.
Yeah.
Which is right. Not at all an op. Like, it's a managed code language, yeah. So it's not. It's incredibly high level.
It requires like a dual core 2 gigahertz or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, for a 2D game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's too bad.
Interesting little game, though.
It is. If you actually, you should, you know, obviously check the system requirements if you want to, if you're interested in. And I think there's a demo, actually.
I thought we did talk about Blueberry Garden
last. I don't know. Did we talk about that with you, Nick?
No.
No, I thought we talked about
it. No, it would have been last week. So you guys want to do reader mail? Reader mail?
Yeah, let's move on to reader mail. I don't know. If we didn't talk about it, Blueberry Garden, it's kind of cool to check out if you're interested.
Sorry, everyone, that I potentially called out a thing that doesn't exist and then said Gillen.
That's okay.
Have you played The Sims? Sims 3?
Oh, I have played a little bit of it, actually. Yeah, but it's another case of where I've only played a couple hours.
Yeah.
All right. I need to actually pick a game to sit down and just play.
Yeah, I know. I do the same thing all the time. Yeah.
So next week, Blueberry Garden, if we haven't talked about it. Sims 3, if we haven't talked about it.
Yeah. StarCraft 2.
StarCraft 2, if we haven't talked about it.
Right.
What?
Yeah, actually, well, here. This person writes in with an email and says, I know there were some tweets about Blueberry Garden before its Steam released. I don't recall any Idle Thumbs chatter after it actually came out. I hear it is game. Thoughts? Demon Box.
All right, fine.
Fine.
God. It is game.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I like that it's a game that contains such bizarre, whimsical, wacky things that are displayed on the screen, but in a way that is actually fairly
logical,
apparent and logical once you actually understand how the game works.
It's weird. It's one of those things where you play it for 6 minutes and you go, not five or seven, but six. Like, literally, like that's
did you usually, time this?
I'm thinking about it. It's not really five, but it was like the 6 minute mark where you're like, what the fuck
is
this game?
It's like a 7.3.
Like Larry what is David
this?
Over here.
Yeah, like what is this game? I don't know. This is bullshit. I'm about to turn it off. And then you go, oh yeah, there's a game
right,
in here.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
You know, this is a game.
Right.
And
there's
you
actually
have to
a
do
system
this.
To figure out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I agree. I start off the first couple minutes I played and I'm like, Jesus, I'm walking along and the game's kind of sort of directing me what to do. And then
it doesn't.
I walk into a piece of cheese and my screen like fades out and then it changes the hell am I and then you slowly after you know you take a few minutes you're like I see I'm actually there's a cause and effect here and I'm causing things to happen and then sort of an underlying kind of weird pseudo timer going on and there's kind of things that make themselves apparent. It's not the deepest experience ever overall, but it's kind of a cool, I think that's an interesting experiment in that respect in terms of making mechanics kind of reveal themselves to you in a really weird way.
Yeah.
So, I liked it. What else do we have here? Oh, man, this guy mentions Pikmin. He wrote some articles. Well, I'm not going to read those on the air.
Oh, yeah, the Pikmin tips and tricks.
Oh, really? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
It's Pikmin multiplayer strategies.
Oh, cool. We should try to actually remember to link these on the forums.
Yeah.
A guy knows we're fans of Pikmin 2 Battle Mode, which we are. We're huge fans.
Yep, everyone should play that.
Yeah, you should absolutely play Pikmin 2 Versus. It's local versus one-on-one mode in Pikmin 2, not Pikmin 1, only Pikmin 2, and it's incredible. It's some of the best, as far as I'm concerned, some of the best console split screen ever. It's goddamn great. It takes a few rounds before you get what's going on, and it helps if you've played the single player. But once you realize how it works, it's just awesome. Play that goddamn game. What else do we have?
I think we have to plug Pikmin 2 multiplayer like once every 6 or 7 episodes.
It's been a long time since we talked about it.
Not Pikmin. 5, not 7.
Yeah. Wow, this guy has a really horrifying email. I may not read this.
Horrifying in what way?
You want to just read it and we can edit it out?
No.
Now I'm intrigued.
Wait,
come on. Now I really want to know.
Is it like more extreme than my friend got a BJ while listening to those podcasts?
Yes, it's more extreme than that. Oh, I think he's probably trying to one-up that guy.
Holy shit.
That email was horrible.
Yeah.
Wow. See it? Can I at least look at it with my eyeball?
Sure, hold on. We have a short email by Brian Ellis who writes, just wanted to let you know I saw Pixar's Up this evening and I kept waiting for them to come across a goddamn snake so Randy Newman could give them a pro tip on how to handle it. So that's from Brian Ellis. That's a good observation.
I was actually hoping a snake would appear in that movie as well. When I
know,
I was
surprised
too.
There wasn't one.
The demo is so snake focused and our song is especially snake focused.
Yeah. It's funny. I was actually... apparently in that movie the old man, what was his name, Carl,
yeah,
which by the way that was a great movie, he was watching TV
Oh, yeah, it's the...
and he was watching the QVC...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The QVC commercial with the guy with a huge picture of a
butterfly.
Butterfly.
Or a moth. He says it's a horse.
Look at this yeah. horse.
It's the bushy ears, tail.
The bushy tail. That is a magnificent horse.
Yeah. There's a list. There's actually a really good compilation of like up little in jokes and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
If you search for it on Google.
Oh, my producer informs me this is may actually be a butterfly. It may, in fact,
it may be a moth.
The fuck are you guys
talking actually,
about? Let me show you something really impressive. That picture, remember the picture of the horse I showed you earlier? Well, here it is, blown up. This is a big horse. Look at that horse. The bushy tail, the big teeth, the hooves. Okay, my producer, Tara Cates, just told me this isn't a horse, it's a butterfly. Yeah, actually, it may in fact be a moth. But look at what the zoom did. I mean, you can see details in the antenna.
Sorry, yeah, I was reading that email, which we absolutely cannot read.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Really?
What are you guys talking about?
I want to know what this is now.
No.
No.
We'll put all you guys can know, but I can't.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got a pretty hilarious... Oh, you know what? Someone wrote into the video game studio name here. That was quick. Ben Gilbert from Joystick writes in, worst video game studio name, A2M, and they're making Wet. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's a good point. We totally forgot about that, I think. Well, because definitely dating back to when I was still at Shaq, we were definitely writing ridiculous headlines about, about A2M making Sierra Wet.
Yeah.
So
classic headline.
Yeah. Classic good times. I don't think that bothers me as much as Visceral Games, because A2M is sort of funny, you know? Like, it's not, I mean, just kind of hilarious. Visceral Games? Come on, guys. God, that's stupid. Let's see here. Oh, man, this guy's got a dream about the PS3. Should we read this?
Yeah, let's read the dream.
All right.
In Ryan, the future.
This is a long read.
But I had vitality sensors on my...
Yeah? Okay. All right. Ryan writes, "Hey, Idle Thumbs crew. I was catching up on your podcast, and a couple of weeks ago, you guys had a brief discussion about dreams you had concerning video games or the industry. This reminded me about a weird video game dream I had about a year ago concerning the PS3. The dream starts out as I walk into Best Buy, probably to buy a video game. However, as I walk through the door, P. Diddy is standing there to greet me, and he's surrounded by his entourage, which includes Sony's Ken Kutaragi. Ken immediately walks up to me and says, 'I am here to crush Xbox,' as he makes a furious double-fisted slamming motion towards the ground with his hands. Then, without saying a word, P. Diddy hands me a used PS3. I like that it's used,
yeah.
And he knows it's used, and that P. Diddy would give him a used one. And... this excites me because now I can go and buy Uncharted, a game that I really wanted to play at the time. However, when I go to the back where the games are, I notice each game is hanging from the ceiling by a string. I somehow manage to find a ladder and climb up to grab the games I want and leave with my new used PS3 and game in hand. The funniest part about this whole story is that I actually went out to buy a PS3 a few weeks after having this dream. And P. Diddy was there and he gave it to me. So,
well,
anyway,
no, that isn't
what he says. That's not actually what he says. Anyway, love the podcast. You guys are the best, Ryan. Good job. That's a weird dream.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Also, God, this isn't video game related, but Jesus Christ, earlier this week, I woke up at about in the middle of the night more terrified than I can ever remember being in my adult life.
It wasn't Gillen related.
No, it wasn't.
Gillen! Whoa.
It was fucking weird. There was just a crazy sound that I heard in a dream or something, and I just woke up, and I was so terrified, it literally took me about 5 minutes of just lying awake in my bed to work up the courage to get up and look to see what time it was. It was some crazy shit. Anyway, so that happened
to me
this week.
Actually.
You were just standing there with a vitality sensor on every finger. And
that's what the sound probably was, I think, actually.
Yeah, probably. So if we're about ready to close this out, we have one amazing email that we should read. This is from Rich Allen, and he actually wrote his email including our responses.
Yeah.
So everything that...
As a script.
Yeah, exactly. He wrote it just... not even as a script, it's just words. There's not even any indication of like when the commentary ends and his email begins. It's just written in one big long thing. So everything I say... from now until the end of this email is
until the end of this email, probably until maybe the end,
the end
of the
podcast. Yeah. It's just taken directly from this guy's email. No additional commentary inserted.
Anything Nick and I say is probably accidental.
Right. Here we go. Oh man, this is a long one. Rich Allen writes, well, first he says it would kick ass and all that stuff, which we love. But then he has some commentary on Immersion, which I think is pretty spot on. He writes, Immersion, as it pertains to video games, is less about replicating the motions and feelings of its actions and real-life counterparts, and more about reducing the amount of unintuitive commands to recreate real-life action on the screen. It seems that my definition of Immersion is not shared by many people in the games industry, as evidenced by this year's E3. He then goes on with a few examples, which I don't fully agree with, but are interesting nonetheless. For example, there's no question that the guitar and drum peripherals for Guitar Hero and Rock Band are immersive. When you're playing the drums in the game, you're practically drumming in real life. I completely agree with this. Does a plastic game controller shaped like a skateboard create an immersive gameplay experience? Absolutely not. He actually spelled not, K-N-O-T, which is pretty funny. In fact, the Flick-It controls from EA's Skate series are far more immersive. With learning a small set of intuitive controls, the user has full control over the game character's movements. The movements recreate the free nature of skateboarding in real life. Once the user learns a very basic set of rules, they're free to make their own game. In fact, the game becomes reflex and second nature, which is really what immersion is. A somewhat more extreme example of an immersive experience that deviates from perhaps a more obvious play mechanic is in first-person shooters. The seemingly best recreation of the shooting game would be a throwback to the old arcade saloon shooters, where you're holding a toy gun aiming at targets on the screen. However, this is not as immersive as a classic keyboard and mouse. How can this be? In the Lycan example, you're aiming into a 3D world through a 2D plane. It's a different act than a real shooting. In a 2D plane, and this changes the game entirely.
Enough.
And I think we're done with reader mail after that. Man, no more long mails for me. I'd rather read 100 What Is Game emails next week. Later, everyone.
Video game.
4,637 hours.
What?
Since my start.
How is that even possible? What?
I think I started it when I first. 4,000 no. hours? What
happened? I haven't had that phone that long.
Maybe someone started it in the test facility. Because I've not. Has my phone existed for 4,000 hours?
Chamber.
Well, like, they run, like, when the machine comes off the assembly line, people run it through a test. Like, they run the live phone through a test cycle.
How many hours?
Wait, I wonder.
4,600 hours?
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, look.
That's almost 200 days.
That's just 2 hours. Never mind. But I had never started this.
What, is that a new, is that a 3GS?
Yeah, it's a 3GS, yeah.
Oh, how many of us have 3GSs? Are we all that retarded?
Oh, great.
Oh, fuck. Fuck everything.
Video game.
I really fucking want to make that now. That, like,
I know.
That should be the back page of the Journal of Games next time we do it. So I'm going, yeah! Like, man, 10 vitality sensors, that's hilarious.
Like a web of cords just like just trapping you. Like,
is this the future you want?
Like Brazil, where you're just getting trapped.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then it pans up, and then there's just Peter Molyneux, like, orchestrating everything.
The godfather, yeah. Like, marionette.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Puppet master, yes. Molyneux.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Maybe Spielberg is watching through double sided glass, or like,
right. Well,
you know, like another room.
He needs to be on the couch, like it's the family on the couch. I don't know, or like one of your hands is controlled by Molyneux, and the other one is Spielberg.
And then Neil Young is just whipping you.
No, he's just there with his iPhone camera, like documenting it. This would be so hard to make, but it would be totally worth making that.
Yeah.
I wish there was actually some sort of face peripheral, but I guess there isn't.
There's got to be a face peripheral. There's the guy who made the Wii head tracker.
Yeah, but that's not real. Like, all the other stuff we're talking about are actual...
It's like actual,
like,
product.
Yeah. Vitality sensors
stuff
and,
that
like,
want
bouncing
you to buy.
On the balance board with a skateboard on, like,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Two guitars strapped
yeah,
to your
yeah,
back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is there really no face thing? Well, there's definitely the 3D glasses.
There
I mean, definitely
go.
There are companies that
yeah.
are releasing
yeah,
stereoscopic
go.
Glasses now for games.
Yeah. None of those are like, all the, what I like about all the other ones is that they're all actually like things that are supposed to be
weird,
the next
like,
cultural phenomenon.
SM,
right, yeah, like social kind
right,
of, yeah.
Well, hey, but
like,
just
oh,
all,
I see what you're
also
saying, yeah.
Mainstream
yeah.
stuff that
right.
all when combined just make you have a horrible, ruined robot life.
Right.
Of just like, you, all of these things are recognized as like, Activision's like, everyone wants guitars and skateboards, and Nintendo's like, y'all want vitality sensors and balance boards. And then Microsoft is just like, we want to scan your body and have a small boy tell you what to do. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
I'm going to wrap myself up in a DDR blanket.
What? A
yeah,
DDR
like a soft mat? Yeah, I wish that we had all of these peripherals because it would be an amazing video to actually make.
Yeah, I know.
Email Nintendo,
Nintendo
PR.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're wondering if we could get a an advanced copy of the... Yeah, we've got a number of staffers interested in examining this. Measuring their vitality.
Sensing their
vitality.
Yeah.
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 It draws out your life essence.
Yeah, so, someone holding all those peripherals and then just like tears, like this tear soaked face. Was, yeah. But just holding the guitar with 10 vitality sensors on is also amazing to me. I'm just like, you're badass. I'm just like,
right. Yeah, it can get progressive. I mean, you could start out what, with the guy like yeah. just on the yeah, just on the skateboard going like,
it's like this
you know,
is pretty cool.
Like, yeah,
and then, but wait, add in the Guitar Hero guitar. Bam! Yeah. All right, this is cool. And then
it would be like a juicer commercial. We're gonna throw in right, 10 vitality sensors. 10 vitality sensors. 10 vitality sensors.
Like a ShamWow. <right? laughs>
Add in the second guitar, strap some portable drums on, light kit like hanging on.
Right. Fog machine. There's a, there is a Rock Band fog machine.
And on top of it all, put you on the balance board. Skateboarding on top of the balance board. Help me. Oh, God. And you know, classic controller.
Right. Yeah. Where do I press it?
I think you know. With Peter Molyneux as the puppet master. Yeah.
God, that would be incredible.
But just making a print ad of that, of just gaming yeah. extreme, and it's just a person like sort of
yeah, like that like, Blockbuster.
They're like, yeah, and they're posed, but their face is just like, oh. Yeah, we could make that. That would yeah, be
pretty
that'd
great.
Be an amazing thing to make.
That
for,
needs to get made.
Gamer Grab, if we do a PAX Journal of Games, they do that with Extreme Gamer. Yeah, you just have the sort of Wii Remote with classic controller just sort of being thrown from off camera.
Yeah, plugged into the Wii Remote. Right. Yeah, right. So it's this crazy, like, bolus thing.
Yeah, the floor is littered with DSs with the Guitar Hero.
Yeah, I was going to suggest he's got his palm.
Right. Like guards, like palm guards or something.
Here and just has the, like, yeah,
with the same hand, he's playing a guitar.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah,
he's got the DS guitar thing.
Playing it with his right
strapped
hand
onto it. Yeah,
like doing this
with guitar yeah. sticking out like this. That, yeah, he's just trying to.
Your gaming future. Oh man!
Yeah, like four iToys, like with Nintendo, Activision, Microsoft, and Sony. The future is brighter than it's ever been.
Zenimax.
Zenimax.
Disgusting.